chat with our staff medical advisor from South Strand Internist. Every week we talk with either Dr. Vandegrift or today Dr. Brian Adler about various health concerns. And today we're going to be talking about something that you may not realize is as much of a problem as it is. Irritable bowel syndrome. Good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, when Dr. Adler told me that we were going to talk about this today, he made the comment that he sees it almost every day, and I commented that that surprises me because you never really hear anybody talking about it, and I guess maybe one of the reasons is it may not be the most popular topic of conversation among your friends, but apparently it is something that is fairly widespread, and I'm assuming there's different causes of it. But Dr. Adler, let's start with a definition. What exactly is irritable bowel syndrome?
Well, irritable bowel syndrome is a condition that affects the contractions of the intestinal tract. Our intestine is a tube that's surrounded by a muscle, and proper digestion requires a smooth contraction of the intestinal tract moving its way from the top of your stomach all the way down to your bowels. And if that is not coordinated and is not functioning the way it should, then people will begin to have a variety of symptoms. They'll have bloating, they'll have cramping, they more than likely will have irregularity with their bowels. Some of these folks either have constant constipation, some have frequent diarrhea, and some have both. And again, it's a very common problem. People come in almost daily describing symptoms related to, you know, how they feel with discomfort in their belly and bloating, and their bowels aren't right, and you know, often they're trying to experiment with their food and trying to find reasons to, you know, cause or for a cause. So again, you know, many are coming in first just trying to understand what's going on, and then of course trying to find some treatment.
Okay, so when we say syndrome, I guess it means it's happening over and over. So if I, for example, ate a bowl of hot chili with all these hot peppers and got a stomach ache that goes away after time, then that would not be irritable bowel syndrome, correct?
That's correct. People who have this typically have had it for many months, sometimes years. Some of it starts as early as adolescent, and people will have it way into their adult life. For some people, it can come and go. And there's definitely a relationship between stress and anxiety and mental health and symptoms of irritable bowel. So there's definitely a link between, you know, the brain and the regulation of the gut. So again, there's a variety of factors that can trigger these problems. And again, when folks come in, we typically, you know, need to evaluate them carefully first to make sure we exclude any dangerous or disease-related conditions. So often people may require x-rays or colonoscopies and blood tests to make sure they don't have some kind of a growth or obstruction or something in the bowel itself. Typically for irritable bowel, all these tests are normal. So if you look at the colon, CAT scans, colonoscopies, you won't see anything wrong with the bowel, because this is what's called a functional disorder, which means it's not an obstruction or a growth. It has to do with the contractions of the muscle. So again, it's not something you're going to see on a test, but again, it has to do with the way the contractions and the digestion process works in that individual.
I understand. And we've all, at least I grew up hearing the term nervous stomach, but if you, I mean, if you're dealing with, you know, a period of having diarrhea or anything of that nature, that can be, you know, quite a disturbance. You may not even be able to go to work in some cases when it gets that bad. But so people come to you on a case-by-case basis. How do you, I guess you're going to obviously ask about their lifestyle and their diet to try to figure out if it's something that could be easily fixed or if it's something that's going to be more long-term and is going to take more treatment.
And again, some of these folks have had previous evaluations because these are not new problems, but for others who are coming in, often they will require a good investigation to look at their colon and look at their stomach and bowels to be sure there isn't some underlying problem. Typically, once we have eliminated those possibilities, typically I will sit down and explain to people how they can manage this, because it is something that has to be managed. It's not something that people get cured from, meaning they can manage it. At times it's worse, at times it's better. There's a variety of different medications and things that we often will use to help people control their symptoms. So again, it's a lot of education and working with patients to help them first understand that, you know, again, there is a link between underlying anxiety, depression, mental health issues that can often trigger this. So sometimes that has to be addressed as well.
So I'm right now dealing with a common head cold, and I'm taking medicine that is treating the symptoms, but I just don't have anything to treat. You know, I don't have much energy right now, even though I'm trying to get as much rest as I can. So likewise, you can possibly prescribe some medications that will help with nausea or something like that, some diarrhea medication. But that's really treating the symptoms and not the cause. Is that a fair analysis?
That's true. And again, some people can get relief through things like biofeedback. Some people do require medicines for their anxiety and depression, which will often help. Many need some counseling and just to kind of work through issues that may be triggering. I find it's very common when people are coming in and they have symptoms. They're also having stress at home or with family or financial. So again, dealing with those issues often will help to settle some of the bowel cramping and stool problems and bowel problems. But again, some people are so disabled, they can go days sometimes or longer without moving their bowels. And some that have the diarrhea component will have, you know, frequent, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day, very inconvenient loose stool or diarrhea. So again, there are some very good medications that can treat these things, typically designed to either relax the gut or slow the movement and the contractions of the gut so people can get relief from their symptoms. Often we will talk about diet because certain things might trigger it. Certain lifestyle issues, of course, may also trigger people who are drinking excess alcohol, excess caffeine. Certain kinds of foods may trigger symptoms, so often we need to just sit down, review their diet, and see, you know, what kinds of things might be contributing to causing these symptoms to accelerate. And then again, coming up with a treatment program that, you know, a patient can feel comfortable with, and periodically we sit down and review, you know, how controlled are their symptoms. Many will get long-term relief of their symptoms. Others will get intermittent flare-ups. So again, it's something that just, you know, requires a lot of relationship and discussion and meeting with the patient over and over again, and continuously refining the treatment so people can get relief.
Well, management certainly could help, and a lot of folks, if you're seeing as much of it as you say you are. You mentioned biofeedback. We're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, if you just tuned in. You mentioned biofeedback. What is that?
So biofeedback is a technique done by clinical psychologists that actually can help you regulate stress levels. There are several different ways to do it. Some of the newer ways that they're doing it now is actually using brain waves. They'll put electrodes on your scalp and actually train you to try to get to that sort of relaxed state. There's a very specific frequency of brain waves when people get into a relaxed state. So when people sort of train themselves and they actually see it on the screen and they can reproduce it by just either relaxing and doing different techniques, and they see the relaxation brain waves come up on the screen, you know, they actually can increase the amount of time that they spend with the relaxed brain waves. So it's training yourself through, you know, monitoring and watching your brain waves. Some people monitor body temperature, pulse rate, and different parameters that you can actually control if you can watch it on a screen and then just relax and try to regulate it. And this is what some clinical psychologists who do biofeedback help patients do, to try to get, again, a sense of relaxation and relief that can help their symptoms.
Well, that's a new one on me. Very interesting. So, folks, maybe you've dealt with these symptoms, and maybe when you've got a big decision coming up, it flares up again. Maybe you should go talk to your healthcare provider about it. Maybe some simple management can really, really help you out. And remember, if you don't have a healthcare provider, you can always call South Strand Internists. They're located on Glens Bay Road in Surfside Beach. Open 7 days a week, providing urgent care as well, by the way. 843-650-4006. 650-4006. And a reminder, these programs are now available in podcast form at the South Strand Internist website. And they get up pretty quickly now, too. Dr. Adler, great show. Thanks for being with us today.